Jason Leisure's still here.
Hello.
Jason Leisure.
I will fight Chris Emma in Starbucks. I will fight him in a Panera, a Dunkin' Donuts, a Quiznos, a White Hen, a Schlotsky's. Name the time, name the place. I'll be there, Chris Emma.
Sounds good.
There's reporter for the Chicago Sun-Times.
I know if I write something really critical, I'm back in there next day and I will see that person face to face. So I better write responsibly. That doesn't mean pull punches.
No.
But that means what you write needs to be well supported, and it shouldn't be something that you'd have a problem saying to that person's face.
Jason Leisure.
Have I ever told you about my dream of having the career arc? There's a weathercaster in the Caribbean. He wears a Hawaiian shirt and he has a stuffed parrot. That's how you end your career. I'll just do that. I'll come in, I'll do weather for the entire Caribbean. And I'll just hang out and I'll wear this shirt and I'll have this stuffed parrot.
Is the stuffed parrot, is it a ventriloquism act or does it just sit there?
It just sits there. This is the end. That's where your career should end.
I thought it's Montreal.
Your plans for after this are so scattered, man. You have yourself living in 365 places one day a year after this is over.
It's really only three
we
places.
We need to streamline a little.
Jason Leisure with Spiegel and Holmes on 670 The Score.
Jason Leisure is good at giving life advice. He joins us now on the Circa Sports Illinois Hotline. Download the Circa app today. You should check out all the work that he's doing, no matter who he's covering for the Chicago Sun-Times. But we are getting close to the time where it's just going to be him and the Bears. But luckily, it's in the dark period of the NFL right now. Everyone's done with all their OTA stuff, and the players are out enjoying themselves all sorts of ways. It's been fun to follow Caleb on Instagram and seeing that he's out here in the world.
I want to know, Jason, if any of the following items concern you from Caleb Williams' Instagram.
Okay. Let him fly. Let's hear it.
All right. And by the way, Alex, Tanny, Lawrence, I know you guys are observers. If you want to add one to this list, really my first two are these. Number one, he's feeding a live rhinoceros. He's feeding a rhino. And so his hand is in there towards the mouth of the rhino through a fence, but still, that's an NFL quarterback hand. Does that concern you?
That's just available on the side of the road in some sketchy parts of South Florida. That's like just something you do on the way home from work, you know?
Really?
Not a rhino.
My kids have done that at Zoo Miami. I'm exaggerating a little bit, but no, I'm fine with that. I've let my children do that.
Okay.
You know the issue you need to keep track. I don't know if the zoos here, Brookfield or Lincoln Park, let you feed a rhino. That is a little bit more rare. But the issue that you need to worry about, from what I remember about the experience at Zoo Miami, the signage and everything, is if the rhino turns around, if the rhino turns its rhino hindquarters towards you,
yeah,
it's you know, there's a big difference between being in the splash zone there and at the dolphin show at Brookfield.
Do we now need to get Ron McGill on this show?
Oh, if you could. Like, you think that highly of yourself, you can just get Ron McGill. He's not just a guy you can get, Lawrence.
I'm just saying that it would be fun. Like, it would
be amazing.
Could you hook us up, Jason?
Can we? Next time we're on, I think I might have met Ron McGill like once, and I don't even remember if it was in person or over the air. I want to say I was in studio sometime, and he was on the phone with us. But he's awesome.
So he's the wildlife photographer and the communications director of Zoo Miami.
Yeah, and he's a frequent visitor to the Levitard show, and okay. And we're kind of in. I don't even want to say like satellite. Like we're in the same galaxy because of Jason with the Levitard show
and Boog
and Boog. Right. So I guess you know what, maybe we are more satellite than I thought with Levitard show.
Yeah.
And we love their content.
All right. So we're a no in terms of concern level on Caleb Williams feeding a rhino. All right. How about this?
Hey,
one?
Speaks. Is this all from Instagram?
Yes.
Yeah.
Were you going to this? Cause I've been out in Wyoming. So I've been kind of detached. I need you to catch me up on this, please.
Yeah, let's get through all of this. His Instagram stories have been, I love it because it shows that Caleb really does have an appreciation for more than just football, and he's okay sharing it. And he's out here traveling, and that's what, when you're 23 years old, That's what you should be doing. If you have the means, then you should go out here and see the world before training camp starts.
Is there a specific one that you want to bring up from his IG?
I mean, the Rhino thing was the most interesting, but
wait a minute. This guy is out here traveling and having other interests?
Yeah,
shocking,
These
right?
These are the problems they warned us about leading up to the draft.
That's
not
right.
Not serious about football.
He went to a nail polish convention. That's where he went.
Oh.
No,
really?
I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
That's fine too.
Of course,
but he seemed to enjoy Europe, and I'm not sure where he is now. But I'm happy for him.
All right, how about this one? Does this concern you? And this is more of a judgment issue. He puts the new F1 movie starring Brad Pitt right up there with Good Will Hunting and The Dark Knight in his top three films of all time.
I got a problem with that.
Yeah,
yeah. Listen here, my friend. The only movies that this Caleb William guy should be watching our Remember the Titans.
And Blues Brothers.
And Varsity Blues over by there.
And how about Brian's song?
And Blues Brothers, too.
How about Brian's song?
Yeah, he should definitely watch that.
Come on, Leisure.
Should be a weekly rewatch, my friend.
Two things on the bit. The accent is brutal. And then
it's supposed to be.
Brutal bad?
I thought so. And then Brian's
song. I'm
from
song.
Here. I know, I'm just...
Was I way too long?
I don't know. Maybe it's at Wyoming.
Miami.
Yeah, Miami and Wyoming.
What are you doing in Wyoming?
What was I doing in Wyoming?
Yeah.
All kinds of stuff. How do you like the Wyoming beard?
Everyone is actually on inside of the Twitch. They've been saying that the beard game is strong right now.
Yeah, it's only got a couple more days because I got TV this weekend. But
Can't you go on TV with a beard? I've done it.
This is a little too Wyoming for TV, I would say.
No, that looks good. You got a little Jared Allen in you, right there.
So what's in Wyoming? What drew you to go out and hang out in Wyoming?
I had a window where I could travel with my 14-year-old daughter. Everybody else had other things going on, and I wanted to find a place that I had never been. And it came down to, I don't know what you'll think of this, Lawrence, but it came down to Wyoming or Montreal. And two totally different types of trips, and I went with the Old West, you know, mountains and bears and bisons and type trip.
Well, I mean, obviously, like, we had talked about you maybe going to Montreal at some point because I speak so highly of it. I'm thinking maybe when the girls get older, you take them to Montreal.
I want to go now. I want to go everywhere all the time. I'm like you. I have, you know, 365 destinations a year that I'd like to go to, but... We stayed in Jackson Hole, which is a little ski town. It was nice. And you got good proximity to Grand Teton National Park and Yellowstone National Park. Saw a lot of cool stuff. Saw some bears. Saw a mama grizzly and its cub in the wild. And saw a black bear.
That's awesome.
And saw a lot of bison. That's pretty common out there. I got a good scrape. You know, this is my rugged wilderness story. I got a good scrape, good gash on my leg. From one of our expeditions, and by expedition I mean that the rental car was a Ford Expedition, and I caught my leg on the door at one point and got a little scrape.
Boy, that's the kind of thing that could only happen in Wyoming. Am I right? Yeah,
only there. That's their postcard. That's their slogan. Speaks only in Wyoming.
I mean,
only in Wyoming could you catch yourself in the leg when you're shutting your door to your truck.
Real talk. The national park system is an underutilized jewel for all Americans. My God, go people, go!
Speaks the Jackson Hole Airport is actually in Grand Teton National Park.
Wow,
it's actually on the property. It's I think the only one in the country. That's like that. And we were just coming in for a landing from O'Hare. They got nonstops from O'Hare to Jackson Hole.
Wow.
And it was like landing in another country. Looking around, it was like, this is totally different. This is crazy.
I've never been. You're making me want to go to that one.
Yeah, you are. That's a very cool thing to have happen. So what is something Wyoming specific that you've done while there or seen while you've been there?
Probably the animals, and then, I don't know if this is a racket or not, but carrying around bear spray. You have to have bear spray on your hip at all times, is what they tell you. I don't know if that's true, but I don't really want to find out if it's true. I don't want to find out the hard way. But what I learned was, I like a week before I left, one of my friends, who's like my dad's age, who's an outdoorsman, Sherm Fields, he said, "Hey, if you're going out to Wyoming, you need bear spray." And I thought he was messing with me at first, and then I remembered, "Oh, this guy doesn't joke around about the outdoors. He's serious." So I ordered some bear spray on Amazon, like any normal suburban person. And then it occurred to me the day before I flew
that I'm you like, can't take it on the plane.
Well, I know I couldn't take it on the plane, but I thought you could take anything in your checked luggage. And right on the TSA website, it specifically and definitively says no bear spray in your checked luggage. So I have this can of bear spray at home with nothing to do. I mean, I don't know what I'm ever going to use that for.
In case Lance Briggs ever comes over. That's all.
And then when you get there, everybody sells bear spray, but it's not $40. It's $50. As you get more into town, it's $60. Now, you can rent it, which this is actually, Lawrence, add this to your list of potential retirement ideas, because this is on my list now. Renting bear spray. Imagine the racket on this. Nobody actually gets attacked by bears. It's such a small percentage. Most of these bear spray cans that you rent out are going to be returned totally full. You could rent these out for next to nothing and still make a killing, because 99% of them you're going to be able to just re-rent and re-rent and re-rent. So while you are the weatherman down in the Caribbean with the stuffed parrot on your shoulder, I'm gonna get to have this beard. I'm gonna get to bring it back and rent out bear spray for $1 less than whatever the cheapest place rents it out for.
Now, there's three things I was told that I stand by. Never get in a battle of wits with a Sicilian when death is on the line. That's one. Never buy a tuna fish sandwich from a vending machine. That's two. Mm-hmm. And never rent bear spray. Always buy bear spray, Jason, and I will not be dissuaded from these things, no matter what.
Well, but what if it's $16 to rent a full can of bear spray?
Yeah.
Or $60 to pay for one that you have to throw out when you get back to the airport?
I'm trusting that it works. I'm trusting that the mechanism of my rental bear spray works. Give me the new stuff. Give me the new stuff. I've spoken. Hey, I have a question for you. Okay. I have a question for you. Gus Edwards, Jamal Williams, Jeff Wilson, Ezekiel Elliott, Chase Edmonds, Amir Abdullah. These are the best names currently on the running back free agent market. Do you think one of them is going to end up making sense, or are they just going to go with what they have, trust youngins, and kind of play it by ear?
One or two of those guys, definitely the power backs, could get. I could see them being a late addition at training camp, like a late signing on the couple of days leading up to training camp. But the bigger question is any of those guys going to be better right now? And there's some big names, and it's so easy to fall in love with names and not remember, oh, those names aren't what they used to be because of aging. Are any of those guys going to be better than a very hungry, very well-coached, much better utilized Roschon Johnson and DeAndre Swift and Kyle Menangai? I would rather go with what they have, but I don't have any problem with giving one of those guys a shot. And if they show you something in training camp, I mean, you don't usually see it with the running backs. It's usually more on the line of scrimmage where you're going to get a defensive tackle or an interior offensive lineman who's still got something left and beats out one of your guys that you were planning on starting or playing regular snaps. But it's hard to see it happening at running back. I think there's so much fixation on these running back names that are available because so many of them are recognizable names. Mm-hmm. But you have to remember where those guys are at in their career.
Well, no, the good context out of you on the answer. Roschon Johnson is the apt comparison, probably not Swift or Menangai, right? So that would, and Roschon would make you think power back, like you said. I guess Ian Wheeler, I'm interested in if that kid is healthy again. I liked him. I liked his speed. I liked his upside. I don't know if Ben Johnson would, and we don't even really know if he's going to be healthy enough come training camp.
We still only know a little bit about what Ben Johnson likes. We can go off the offseason transactions, the signings, trades, draft picks, whatever. We're going to really see that crystallize as the depth chart starts to settle itself. And Roschon Johnson is so interesting because, yeah, he was only a fourth-round pick, but fourth-round pick for a running back is kind of high. It's usually a guy that you think is going to be a solid pro in this era, or at least in the year where he was drafted. I think it's trended a little better for running backs lately. But you don't know what he is. That's not a question. I'm telling you as a statement, you don't know what he is. I don't know what he is. The Bears don't know what he is. No one really knows what Roschon Johnson has or can be, especially after last season, which was just a total loss. I don't know how many snaps he even got last season off the top of my head, but I can't imagine it was even, you know, 75. It wasn't much. He barely played last year.
I know that we've had a lot of fun with this hit, and if you don't want to do something serious, I completely understand. But I did want to kind of ask you and Spiegs about something, because one of the Bears' names clicked in a news item that came up a couple of weeks ago, and that's Manny Machado and his dealings with Big League Advance, which were some people that fronted him money for a percentage of his career earnings. And Jerron Dexter has I believe filed a lawsuit against them because he felt like it was predatory. Has he talked at all about this with you guys, or has it really just been the stuff that he has put in court?
I have not heard anything from him on this. I was in and out a little bit during the offseason practices because I was taking care of some of our Sky coverage in the interim, but I didn't hear any of this directly from him.
The whole thing is fascinating. So like, I'll just say that it reminds me of something that I covered, like during the CBA and the talk of, not this previous one, but the one before that, between the players and the league. There were a lot of the people that were the player reps telling guys, hey, stockpile your money, save your money, because if there is a work stoppage, we don't want you to fold because the owners have all the money and there's not a big window for guys to make money in the NFL for the rank and file, not the stars. And a lot of guys ended up taking like predatory loans where you would see 20-25% that they were supposed to pay back. And seeing that this is now, and I get it, like it's a hedge. It's a, hey, we're banking that you're going to make the pros or you're going to be a star. And I wonder if this is one of those unintended consequences for NIL and for baseball players, like guys being like, yeah, I need money to try and live as a minor leaguer. And yeah, I'm okay with giving away a percentage once I get to the big league and then realizing, damn, this is a bigger percentage than what my agent is entitled to.
Yeah, it's an awful, awful thing. It's full of predatory loans, as you mentioned. Fernando Tatis gave a chunk.
I said Machado, and I apologize. It is Fernando Tatis Jr.
Yeah, there's Tatis, but there's others, and there's a lot of them Latin. I think, you know, there's... And so there's a lot of taking advantage of these guys going on. It's a brutal thing. And I didn't realize that Dexter had been involved in such things. Players got to be careful, don't they, Jason? Got to be careful with that new money, especially as they dream of that second contract, which is far from a guarantee in the NFL.
It's one of the things that I hope eventually NIL actually helps. Because if they get the money earlier, and they get it at a time when hopefully colleges have good educational structures around them about what to do with that money and how to handle it, that they, A, having the money, they wouldn't need to take, there wouldn't be as much impetus to take a deal like that, a loan like that. And B, they will be better educated on what to do with it. But the problem is that anytime anybody, including us, has money, there's just a line out the door of people trying to take it. And when you're 18 to 24, and typically a lot of professional athletes and major college athletes didn't grow up with a lot of money, and now they have a bunch, and that's hard enough to manage right there. But you've also just got tons of people who have this expertise in trying to get it from you. And those are nasty waters to try to swim in.
So to kind of catch everyone up, Tatis signed with Big League Advance, which is a company, and he got $2 million. Like, they fronted him $2 million. And if he didn't make the pros, he didn't have to pay it back. But if he did make the pros, they were going to get 10% of anything that he made. So when Tatis Jr. signed his 14-year, $340 million deal, BLA is saying that he owes them $34 million.
And he does if he signed it.
And Jerron Dexter had something similar.
I know Tatis is suing and trying to get out of it.
He is.
I
don't think he's going to be able to, but
he's going to end up probably having to settle. But maybe the publicity of it and word will get around. It'll scare some kids off from doing the same thing.
Yeah, maybe. And here's the numbers on Jerron Dexter. With Jerron Dexter, they gave him a one-time payment of $436,485.
God.
And now they want $1 million over the lifetime of his first deal to be paid back. So it's a really important point that you make, Jason, where guys have to be careful. And women, too. Women that are getting the big money NIL understand that there might be people that are coming for that money.
Very little of the attention that's going to come your way when you have that kind of money or potential to earn that kind of money is going to be, you know, charitable, philanthropic, some kind of nonprofit that just wants to help. I mean, everybody is looking for a piece of that money. And when you throw out that Jerron Dexter example, Lawrence, $400,000+, there's nobody listening to this that thinks $400,000 is a little bit. That's a ton. That's a ton of money. And if somebody is offering you that and you don't have that, that's pretty hard to say no to. That's what makes it predatory. When the reality is, you talk about Tatis, I mean, what if that guy makes something like $1 billion over the course of his career? What if the next one of him, as salaries go up and up and up, makes something like $1 billion? Somebody is going to be able to front you $2 million to take $100 million out of your career earnings. But they're getting you at a time when you don't have anything. And $2 million is might as well be infinite. Mm-hmm. $400,000 is like, you would sit there and say, well, that's all I need. I can just retire now. I mean, you wouldn't be right, but that is a crazy amount of money to you, but not to them who are preying on you.
Well, if you take half of it and then you put it into a good strategy that's going to get you 8%, you could actually survive off of that.
It's the same guy from Bobby Bonilla Day conversation from yesterday. I love when that guy comes back.
He's got thoughts about how you can grow your money.
That's a banker dude,
yeah,
right there.
Passive income.
Guy.
Just throw half of it into a...
That's Passive Income Pat. That's what we'll name that guy.
I like that.
Passive Income Pat.
There's some truth in what you're saying, but I don't think you're going to grow, $400,000 or $2 million to $100 in that time. You are definitely losing money taking those predatory deals.
Hey man, good luck shaving the beard. I know that's going to be hard. It's going to be difficult.
I think you should. I think you should shape it up and do TV.
I'm going to miss it, Speaks. This is how I talk now that I've been to Wyoming.
It's better than Chicago.
How's that? Is that better? I don't know if that's even a good Wyoming accent. Yeah, all the Wyoming accents are just people that are there visiting.
So it's hard to do one. I understand.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I like it.
I'm not going to shave it completely. I'm going to trim it down and make it, TV professional.
Go with the Amish chin strap like I used to have. You got an opportunity here. Shave everything except the Amish chin strap.
This is an opportunity. That's exactly what those predatory lenders say. You've got an opportunity here. This isn't stupid. You should do it.
Jason, have fun in Wyoming. Glad that you went on the trip. That sounds awesome. And thanks for joining us.
Thank you, guys. See ya.
That was Jason Leisure.
Yeah.
He's delightful.
Sure was. Really was.
Hey, Spees, I just got an email.
Yeah, you did. Who's it from?
I'm excited.
Is it from that Nigerian prince you were thinking about?
No. No, but I just got the email from the 57th Street Co-op that the story of the father who raised an unlikely baseball dynasty is in. I can pick it up today.
Oh, the Benji Molina book has arrived.
Yeah.
Are you done with the Belichick book?
I am.
So you can go from Belichick to Benji.
Yep.
And everywhere in between.
I'm very much.
That's the name of my memoir, actually.
Belichick to Benji.
Now that we're on the topic.
He loved that show, and he watches it in reruns still.
Next on a very special episode of The Parenthetical. Absolutely. From Belichick to Benji.
And I got to tell you, I'm really excited to move on from the Belichick book.
I bet you are. Get that man away from you. Get that man's psyche away.
There's a lot of cool stuff in there, but it's a rough read.
Uh-huh.
It doesn't flow at all.
Is there a chapter on how to pick up 21-year-olds on airplanes?
There is not a chapter on that.
Hmm.
It's mostly football. But then it's also kind of life.
And then it's like, let me tell you how your business would do this. There's a little bit of that. Like, there's some hucksterism in it, too.
Yeah.
Where he's clearly setting up the book tour and the speaking engagements of, I could tell you how all of this stuff totally is parallel to what goes on at your accounting business that you own.
Hmm.
It's like, it's not the same.
No.
It is not.
Well, Bill's pivot to a public non-coaching life has been awkward on lots and lots of levels. He was built for coaching life. He was trained and raised and wired for coaching life.
Yeah, but he doesn't recognize that either, because he makes a whole thing about, it's like, oh, you know, those Nepo babies. And it's like, hold on, sir. Like, you are kind of, you fall into that category, strangely enough. I'd love to talk with him, though. Like, I would love to, like, just sit there and talk to him.
Yeah, so add that in. Also, Brad Pitt, both Kelsey brothers. And I'm going to throw you a real one here.
Bill Belichick.
No, this one, Bob? No, this is a white whale. It's a white whale for me, baseball guest-wise. And TBS is in town, right? Doing the Cubs game. Pedro Martinez, baby. I mean, let's go. I've wanted to talk to Pedro forever. That is a brilliant, brilliant man talking pitching and lots of baseball.
So Bill, Pedro, and Brad Pitt.
And Brad Pitt.
I imagine Pedro knows Bill. So, you know.
Could be.
Edward Encarnacion. Is that a Ding Dong Johnson piece?
Yes, it is. The big time Ding Dong Johnson.
Big time Ding Dong Johnson.
See if you can get him. Jim Hendry would call home runs.
See if you can get him as well.
Johnson.
Where's he? He's in the Korean League. Big time Ding Dong Johnson, I think, is playing out there. All right, thanks, Alex. Just add that to the wish list, all right? Good stuff. By the way, I saw that Joe Buck right now is playing golf with Jim Nantz. Did you see that? He just uploaded that. We got to check in with Joe. And with their kids and grandkids. Nantz and Buck and everybody together.
I know George hates that.
Not a fan.
He hates that Joe Buck is out here having a good time with Jim Nantz and enjoying life.
Sorry, George. Joe enjoys himself.
Too bad. Let's get back into the Cubs and what happened last night. There was some cool stuff, and look, we won't even talk about what Spiegs was doing last night. He was not concentrating on the broadcast. I was, though, and there was some stuff from the broadcast. He was doing much cooler things than I was last night. But there was some stuff that I wanted to run by you. One from the broadcast that had me going, oh, I had no idea that was a thing. And another from postgame where I was like, yeah, we need to spend some time talking about this particular Cub. And we're going to do that next here on The Score.
Cubs looking to start the homestand off right. 1-2 the count. Valencia is ready. A long set and the pitch. Swing and a miss. Strike 3. Cubs start the homestand with a 5-2 win over Cleveland.
When your closer is touching 102 like we just saw from Valencia, what's that like to catch?
Yeah, my hand hurts. That's all I got to say about that. No, he's been great. He's been good for us all year, and, you know, he was bringing it tonight.
That is the truth. Daniel Valencia has fallen nicely into the role of high-leverage reliever. Would you be comfortable saying that he is the Cubs' closer?
Right now, he is, and his confidence grows. I mean, I think everybody on that team and in the fan base pretty much knows that's who you're going to get now. I guess it would be interesting if there's a ninth inning with a couple of difficult lefties and Pomerantz was available, because he likes Pomerantz every once in a while, late innings against a lefty-heavy batch. But boy, Valencia looks the part.
He's got that thing that you like. That most baseball people like.
What's that?
Swing and miss.
Oh, yeah, he's got big-time swing and miss. Well, because he's got control now of the fastball. He's not walking guys. He's not throwing many balls. He's just going after you with a 101, sometimes 102. And it seems like it's moving a little bit more left to right, you know, than it was last year. But it's always had, you know, good ride. They like the fastball. The slider's not awesome in and of itself, but it plays up because he's spotting the fastball every time, and batters got to respect it. Like that last swing and miss that we saw right there, and you heard from Zach, on a low and inside slider that was way out of the zone, that's a hitter trying to protect against 102. Good luck.
Only 6 earned runs in 30 innings of work for him and 35 strikeouts. He's got a whip of .967.
Wow. The last 30 days, in terms of saves around MLB, he's got 4 of them, and the whip's a little higher, and the batting average against is a little bit higher overall, but I keep thinking about that moment when we had Council on. They turned it into a promo, and I read him the quote that he had given about Palencia. You said Daniel Palencia is an important pitcher, taking a step forward. Would you like to expound on that?
No.
No. No, no, I wouldn't.
No.
Thought I nailed that.
Well, guess what, Speaks?
What?
Yesterday he actually did.
Ah!
No. Yes, yesterday, Craig Council did expound on Daniel Palencia. Yes, you did. And him turning a corner in his career.
It's confidence as much as anything. I think he just turned the corner. I mean, we've talked about this in spring training. I thought he had, his just kind of, just the first time we talked, it was clear that he had turned the corner here. In young players, one of the things you're looking for is like, can I assess what happened last year? Like, can I self-assess and can I do it well and can I do it fairly? I thought he, as well as I've seen in a long, just understood what happened last year to him. And then you make the necessary adjustments. And a lot for Daniel was. It was just a mental kind of, and it was, through the confidence issue, and then trust in kind of what he's great at. And I think we've seen that as well.
Man, that's really cool. It's really cool to hear that. And that is him expounding in a way that I was dreaming of at the time. He wasn't ready.
I know you were.
But now he is. And now he's comfortable. Like, he's comfortable talking about it.
I also think that he was messing with us a little bit.
Maybe a little.
Like, just kind of.
Sure.
Having a little fun with us in his way.
Yeah. But like now that he sees him repeat it and repeat it and have the confidence to get out of that situation in St. Louis when he had 2 on and
Wilson yelling at him from first base.
Yeah. 2 on, nobody out, and the tying run's coming up and he strikes out the side. Remember that on the Thursday day game?
I love hearing the process part for Craig in determining what the player is. Like the idea of, yeah, we know what he had to work on. He understood what he needed to work on.
Yeah.
And being honest with yourself in that, and that being respected by your manager.
Yeah, no, I totally agree.
As a sign of growth.
And you and I both love thinking about these people as young humans growing and learning and evolving. And I don't know that it has anything to do with it, but when you think about what it is to be young and to be learning and growing. And Andy Martinez, who does a great job writing about the Cubs for Marquee, and he is really good at chasing down stories with his bilingual abilities. He wrote about Palencia a few weeks back as Palencia's parents were able to come from Venezuela to Miami to see him play against the Marlins. And it was the first time that that they were able to come. And he wrote about Palencia and had quotes from Palencia. My mom took pictures with everyone, with Seiya, with Dansby, my dad too. They were really excited. Super cool to see his parents there on the field. And he wrote, emotional for me. It's hard. It's difficult sometimes as a Latino being alone here. So it was like a whole different sensation being able to come out of the game and hug them and know that they are here. They were more excited than me. So, like, I mean, those kind of things can make a big difference for a young pitcher.
And even though this is completely different, like, culturally, there is a connection. This is what Connor Bedard went through, where it's like, I'm not from here, and I'm a kid. And I'm playing this grown man sport. And I could use the support of a coach or older players that are living in the same building, because this is maybe the first time that I've seriously had this amount of money
and this amount of downtime to kind of do whatever I want. Yeah. And that sense of community and trying to find that sense of community is significant.
No, I totally agree. And so, yeah, this was, as I look more at it, it was May 12th, and his parents from Venezuela had to get to Curacao and then get a flight to Miami and then get a flight to Chicago. And he had worked with his agency, which had worked with, you know, worked to get them visas and get them here. And there's pictures of his dad and PCA on the field after the game. And just, I mean, it looks wonderful. Happy for Daniel Palencia.
Growing Venezuelan population here in Chicago, too. And there's a couple of really good places. Like, if you wanted to go eat, like Misabi Bien, or, right? Misabi. Yeah, Bien Misabi. I had mixed it all up over there on the north side on Wilson? Like Wilson.
Montrose.
I can't get anything right today.
Well, you know what?
There's one down here too, you know?
Yeah, there Adams. Is. There's right by DePaul.
Oh, you were talking about it.
Yeah, I ordered from there quite frequently.
Wow, how about it? Let's do that together next week.
It's really good.
Yeah.
Well, why wouldn't we just go? We could go sit.
Together?
Yeah, you could see like all the Venezuelan players like leave their autographs there. They sign the wall.
That's awesome.
At BMA Sabe.
That's cool.
It's really delicious.
Let's go. Let's go.
Yeah, we should put that on the list.
Is it on Montrose or Wilson? And what's it called again?
BMA Sabe. And it is on Montrose.
Sure about that?
Just west of Ashland.
I'll take your word on that.
All right. I'm doing my best.
Yeah, I know you are. You're killing it.
Figuring stuff out.
On the fly. It's live radio.
See, this is why this show is not cool.
We are cool. No other show can stake a claim to being the cool show, except one did already today.
You'll hear that next here on The Score, and we appreciate everyone who's listening on the iHeartRadio app.
Spiegel and Holmes.
Just to be clear, like, we love fun.
Afternoons on The Score.
My TV show?
Yeah.
Sports Dogs with David Haw.
Enjoy the Mully and Haw show quite a bit. I always listen on the Odyssey app because that's where I can control my experience. No matter where I am in my morning, I can go back and search the chapters of the Mully and Haw show on the Odyssey app, listen to certain guests, listen to certain segments. And I was listening to them this morning as they were talking about Daniel Palencia and his music. Gasoline is the song by Daddy Yankee that was playing. And
Daddy Yankee.
And those guys started to talk about Daddy Yankee on the show.
Daddy Yankee. With Gasolina, an example of reggaeton, that is his genre, and he is considered a pioneer in that field.
Because Daniel Palencia, that is his walk-up song, right?
Yeah.
That's why we're playing it.
It's a huge international hit. He is
Daddy Palencia?
Daddy Yankee is from Puerto Rico.
All right.
And he recently retired at the age of 49.
Well, that's more information than I thought I would find out about Daddy Yankee today.
I think we got to do a little deep dive.
I thought it was a Steinbrenner. So thank you for clearing that up.
Steinbrenner's doing reggaeton.
No, I don't think so. But Daniel Palencia, you're going to be hearing a lot of that song in the second half of the season if things continue to go this way for him.
Daddy Yankee once aspired to be a baseball player.
Did he?
But unfortunately, he was taking a break from a studio session. He went outside and was shot. And he still has a bullet in his leg. They never removed the bullet. He gave up his baseball career, but did not give up his musical career, and then kind of became known as one of the greatest influences. That's kind of a founder of
reggaeton. Sounds like a pretty compelling story.
Yeah.
It'd be a very interesting interview.
I'm glad we did like a deep dive.
Can he be? You want to book him?
Yes, we'll book him.
Tyler.
Dano.
Tyler.
All right, I'm on it. I'm slacking it right now.
There we go. Slack it right now so nobody else jumps to it. These other shows, pretty competitive for guests. We got to get Daddy Yankee on here because we are the cool show, right? We're the cool show.
You are the hippest cat I know.
We are. We're pretty hip. We're young. We're hip. We're chic. All those things. And Daddy Yankee is our kind of guy.
All right. We got a few issues going on here. First of all, CM Punk has a thought on where Mully's been getting his information.
Somebody's reading Wikipedia.
And I'm not sure. I can't say that for sure, but it just sort of felt like that.
His waters run pretty deep.
He knows
a lot of stuff.
That's true. It just felt like it was organized in a very particular fashion. Take it from somebody who knows.
Yes, you would know.
Okay, that's one thing. And then David Haw, I got to tell you, that felt like a direct hit across the bow to us.
Because we are the cool show, right? Yeah, We're the cool show.
You are the hippest cat I know.
We are. We're pretty hip. We're young. We're hip. We're chic.
I feel like that was self-deprecating.
You think so?
Yes.
you think I'm being a little narcissistic, perhaps looking inward at myself?
Yes.
Bit? You think that's what's happening?
I think you thought you heard something that you didn't hear.
Yeah, maybe so.
I think they were being very, like, they were playing against type. Mm-hmm. That's what I heard. I heard.
Because we are the cool show.
I want to admit, am I in a safe space? Alex, you're new here. Am I in a safe space?
No.
Oof, that's too bad.
Yes.
I'm still going to offer it.
Yes, you are.
Thank you, buddy. I'm you knew that I was still going to offer it.
Yeah. It didn't matter if the place was safe or not.
I'd like to think of us as the cool show. I do.
I just don't think we are.
Let me ask you a question. Lately, we've been very aggressive and vocal in branding ourselves the hockey show.
Yeah, for poops and giggles.
I know, but I think we could offer them a swap. Could we
have a trade to announce?
Could we offer the morning show an opportunity for them to be the hockey show if we could instead be the cool show? Is that something that they might be interested in?
I would still say that the cool show goes on here from 10 until 2.
Oh, man! See, now you're making it complicated.
We might have to offer some cash considerations.
Three-team trade?
A three-team trade, a three-show trade. It's hard to pull off as the deadline approaches.
How about this? We'll be the new show. Okay.
Are we the new show?
No, we'll be the new show.
Okay.
Middays can be the cool show.
Uh-huh. Yeah, we'll be talking to Casey about that at some point.
And the morning show can be the hockey show. Three-team trade.
All right, so the hockey show... The midday show gets to be the cool show.
Because it is the cool show.
Oh, that's debatable. But I might have to give it up so we can be the new show?
Yes, yeah, so we're
not
the new show.
I don't like being the new show. Oh, because the midday show is the new show.
Yeah.
I see what you're doing.
I'm making a trade, yeah, a three-team trade.
No, I decline. I decline that offer. I decline that. I don't want to be the new show. We've been here too damn long. We've worked too damn hard.
There's going to be a lot of jockeying between producers behind the scenes.
Oh, yeah.
Over the next couple days.
That'll be a new
for
thing.
For these rights. So we'll have to get back to you on all this.
That'll be a brand new thing. Sure. You got it. It's never happened before.
I just think that, I don't think that David was declaring them the cool show. I think he was
embracing it and trying to have a little fun.
Yeah. We are the cool show.
I don't know. Seemed pretty authoritative. Right there.
Well, when he speaks, he's very authoritative.
All right, that's true. He's very good. All right, so we can see if they'll accept the three-team
trade. Here's what I'd like to know. Why?
I don't want to be the new show.
What do you think would entitle us to be the cool show?
Tanny. Tanny Pax.
Oh, God, we got problems. I'm literally wearing Hokas right now. We've got a problem here.
So am I. We got two guys in Hokas. Feet. Yeah. We got two
actually
guys.
Actually, three.
And
it's okay.
And I'm wearing Brooks's.
All right, so
but we're so cool, we're just comfortable walking
we're
around.
We're so comfortable.
You know?
That's right. We're cool. We don't need the validation of wearing cool shoes. We can wear sensible shoes like we're nurses or something like
that. I would agree that Tanny is probably our best evidence for cool.
That's right.
But Robbie's very cool. Ray is super cool. Mm. Layla's cool as hell.
Man.
And so is Marshall.
Maybe you ought to go back to that slot. You know, maybe that's what you want.
Wow. Damn.
Oh, well, let me go look at the contract to see if I can. Oh, I can. How about that?
I was just joking.
Way to go, Casey.
I was just kidding. All right, well, we can be the new show. We can be the new show. I gave up all my leverage. I gave it all up. I'm leaking confidence, giving up leverage, and accepting a mediocre three-team trade.
I'm very much looking forward to my hit from NBA Summer League with Middays next week.
We have a trade to announce.
Yeah, we are. Congratulations to all the shows for the new designations.
I don't think that they were trying to be the cool show.
All right, that's fine.
I think they're like, they get it.
Okay. Like, we're just trying to.
And I do think that you have a level of cool that people don't appreciate. I will offer that.
That is backhanded.
No,
is
it's not.
Is that a compliment?
It is because we do this for a living. This thing. And we're both baseball geeks.
That reminds me of a listener on Hit and Run a few weeks back said, Speaks, I'd really like to congratulate you on your radio voice. I've really enjoyed it the last year and a half. And I was like, well, do you want to talk about the 15, 20 years before that or no?
No, I just realized it was cool.
He left.
I do hope they get Daddy Yankee, though. And I'm not saying like Baby T can't do it, but I'm assuming Dustin's going to be able to get it done. I just keep thinking about Dustin calling Daddy Yankee. Okay, make sure to turn the radio down, Daddy.
Hello, Daddy, this is Dustin. I hope you're not wearing a vest.
Are you wearing a collared shirt? I'm not wearing any shirt because I'm Daddy Yankee.
Daddy
Yankee. How about
Yankee.
That?
Retired at 49. I heard that from Mully.
You learned it.
I did.
On the Cool Show.
Yes, I did.
Can we have a conversation about someone getting something in a very awkward way?
Yeah, you got to take that World Series ring, even if you don't think you deserve it.
But does he? We'll discuss next on The Score.